and welcome to a unorthodox episode of Subscription Radio. I'm your host, DJ Fish, aka Ben Fisher. I just came back from a long walk on the High Line in New York City. For those who don't know, I live in New York. I lived here for, I think, about 15 years. I grew up on a tree farm in Maine, went to college down south at Chapel Hill, and the day after graduating, moved to the big city and have been here ever since. And the reason I'm doing this episode, I call it unorthodox, is because in addition to doing this podcast, over the last few months, I've actually been the guest on other podcasts. And I recently was on one where the host, Ramon, his podcast is The Story of a Brand, where talked a little bit about my background in building tech companies and my childhood and just like my interests and how I even got into tech. And the question that he asked me at the beginning of the episode was, what's something that I'm grateful for? A moment where people, and my immediate reaction was to express gratitude for my parents or my friends. And I am grateful and I did do that. But what I said next was that I'm grateful for a recent experience I had with ketamine therapy. And although we didn't get into any of the details of that on the show, when I was walking tonight, I wanted to share a little bit about what that experience was like. I've spoken privately with my friends about it, and people have typically the same questions. And I wanted to expand upon that and share why I did it, what I've gotten out of it. Was it worth it? Is it worth it? And I'll do that. I'll share what is it like? What exactly is ketamine in layman's terms? I'm certainly not a doctor, but I did an enormous amount of research of different, call it therapeutic approaches. And ketamine was the one I ultimately decided was right for me. But before I go into that, I want to talk a little bit around, I guess, me and why. I'd say that for most of my adult life, probably even as a kid, although I've been like happy and excitable, I've always found an enormous amount of anxiety. Probably best described as like generalized anxiety, performance anxiety in particular. I was one of those students in high school that I would, even if I knew the material, and this even was true in college, I would get the answer wrong. I was horrible at multiple choice tests. I did well in school because I worked my ass off, but I was a horrible test taker. I think the first therapist I saw was in like eighth grade, and it was around performance anxiety and exams. Some of these things that they stick with you. It's something that I've just struggled with, the like intellectual side of anxiety for most of my life. And so about probably like 14 years ago, when I started my very first, we'll call it adult company, this is after graduating college, I was going to a therapist, was doing therapy, and then I was prescribed anti-anxiety medication. Been on a range of different medications over the course of the years. Some of them have worked, some of them haven't. But I got to a point this fall where the anxiety medication, while it had been helping, wasn't really helping anymore. To be honest, I couldn't even tell if I still felt super anxious. I felt like the monkey brain, and there were things going on in my life. And I certainly wasn't taking care of myself in the way that I have been at various other points, like around exercise. And I've tried meditating so many times, I've quit it probably twice as many times as I've started it, if that's even mathematically possible. But I just got to a point where, you know, the dosage of anti-anxiety medication that I was on, it frankly wasn't really helping. I'm sure it was dulling some of it, but it was really treating, and this is true for most, a lot of these medications, is they treat the symptoms, not the underlying root cause. And I will say, if there was a magic pill, I would probably be perfectly fine taking it. But for whatever value I was getting out of that medication, it wasn't doing enough to really help me anymore. And so I made the decision in December to look for alternative forms of trying to get more to help myself. And with the goal being to address the root cause around the anxiety. And in my research, and in, we'll call it the dangerous Googling of the internet, of what are all the things that people talk about in terms of treating anxiety and trauma, and I'll kind of lump those together. And I hate using the word trauma, because certainly in my experience, it's not, I don't say the word trauma in that, like trauma. Although I guess, and I've expressed this to some of my friends, and what they've said has been, trauma doesn't always mean that shit happened when you were a kid. Like, we as human beings have traumatic experiences that are truly traumatic, regardless of whether or not you're lucky in so many parts of your life. I think choosing, I won't even say it's because of the entrepreneurial journey. I think regardless of what you do and what walk of life you have, there's a lot of different shit that just happens as a human being. And I think for me, bottled up to a point, and I wanted to find a new way of trying to process it. And so in my research, I came across ketamine therapy. And for those who aren't familiar, ketamine is I'm going to say this wrong. I believe the pronunciation is anesthetic. It puts you to sleep. Anesthesia. Anesthetic, yeah. So it is a legal medication used by doctors as a way to put people to sleep during surgery. It also happens to be a horse tranquilizer. And it also happens to be a drug that can facilitate you tripping. A very similar experience to doing mushrooms or, yeah, I guess to psilocybin. Although what's interesting about ketamine is that unlike psilocybin or LSD, it works on a different part of your brain. And so it's not the same as psilocybin. It's also interesting about ketamine. And I learned this in talking to the doctors who ultimately administered it to me was that, because one of the questions I asked is, if it puts you to sleep, like how can it put you to sleep, but also have you like kind of trip balls? how does that work? What determines that spectrum? And what was really fascinating, this is something I learned was that different medications and medicines, or maybe even compounds, administered in different ways and to different durations have different effects. So if you're in surgery and they're administering ketamine, they're giving you like a constant amount of a certain amount of ketamine throughout the entire surgery. You wake up, you're groggy. If you're doing ketamine therapy, they're giving you a certain amount that will have that it's not being administered constantly. It's being administered like a certain dosage. And so there are three ways that ketamine is administered for ketamine therapy. The first one is sublingual, which means that it goes like underneath your tongue. The second one is through IVs. So basically they hook up a bag to your arm and they administer it that way. And the third way is the way I did it, which is it's administered through a shot in your muscle. And what's unique about the shot in your muscle, from what I understand, is that it's also the most likely to create an actual, we'll call it out of body experience. And the reason that this company does it this way, and the company's called Field Trip, they're based in New York. I think they probably have locations in a few other cities. But the reason that they exclusively do it through shots to the muscles, because as their thesis, I believe it's a thesis, not a hypothesis, either way, their thesis is that an out-of-body experience, which again, I believe you can only get it through the injection, or maybe just a certain level of an out-of-body experience. Regardless, that out-of-body experience and their experience is what leads to the most profound, call it, experiences. And so that is ketamine. That's like the different ways you can get it. Interestingly enough, there is a subscription experience, like a D2C subscription called, I believe it's called Mindbloom, that I considered. The thing is, the efficacy rate of any of these things like Mindbloom is really low, because it's being, first off, by consuming it underneath your tongue, the amount of medicine that's getting into your body is being, I believe it's, there's not as much, right? That's the short answer. And I don't know if it's because you're metabolizing it differently, and or it's simply because the medication that is absorbed through, you call it like through your mouth, is very different than like getting a shot of something directly into your blood flow. You'll get a lot more of it. Less of it will be processed by your body. I think that's probably the layman's way to describe it. So it's a fascinating experience. I'll spend a couple of minutes now just saying, what is it like? And then I'll talk a little bit about what are some of my takeaways coming out of it, and how am I different? How am I the same? And I guess just generally, yeah, anything that I can impart or share about that experience. So going into the experience as a trip, pun unintended, you go in, it's like a doctor's office, and they have doctors and therapists involved in this entire experience. But you go in, it's almost like a Zen garden. And like cardboard boxes of water. It's very zenny. And you go in with a doctor or therapist, typically therapist, into a room, and you know, the walls are painted. It's like you're in like outdoors in the jungle in one of them. I was actually slightly worried that it might scare me during the trip, but they have reclining seats with weighted blankets and headphones that you put on, as well as eye masks. So you don't see anything. And they lead the session first by asking you what your intention is for the ketamine session. And so for me, it was something I've been trying to do, and still hard, is gratefulness. And the irony for me around gratefulness is that there are things that I intellectually know that I should be and am grateful for, and I'm very fortunate for. And there's a lot of things that have happened and stuff that are really hard for me to accept. And I get pissed at myself for not feeling more grateful, because I also recognize in the grand scheme of things and of all the different things that can happen to a person, that even though the things that I've experienced have been extremely disappointing and traumatic over the years, I'm still a very fortunate person. And I don't want to lose sight of that. And I think that the very human side of me recognizes how lucky I am, and also gets really fucking frustrated that I can't just feel more grateful. And so part of my intent going into the session was to rid my body or cleanse my body of the trauma that I've been building up over the years. And that ended up being the common theme and a big part of my intentions subsequently in my sessions. And the way that field trip works is that you have 6 ketamine sessions where you're administered the medication. And then in between each session, you have what's described as a integration session with the therapist, where you talk about things you've taken away from the experience. And while you're getting the medication, so during the actual experiences, the therapist is there with you the entire time and taking notes with anything that you say. And then there's an opportunity after the trip for you to take notes yourself as well. So you're in this room and you have given your intention. They put on the mask, they put on the headphones. It's music that has no lyrics. It's very, I don't know, the word would be bohemian, but I'll include a link to the playlist in the show notes. I actually enjoy listening to it now, and I've shared it with several of my friends. What happens is eventually a doctor comes in and administers the drug, a doctor, nurse, maybe technically. And within probably 3 to 5 minutes, the experience for me was basically my body got warm. And then if you've ever done or experimented with psychedelic drugs, it's a very similar experience where it's like I had this everything got warm and then I was like, oh, here we go. And I will tell you that I've had a very bad experience with a couple of times that I've experimented with psychedelics. And so I don't do drugs, including even weed, legal weed. It does not work for me. So I do not do it. And so that I was slightly anxious about this experience in part based off of those. But luckily, the initial experience of going into this ketamine trip felt similar, just call it emotionally, but then was a very different experience. And it's hard to describe. Each trip was very different. The first one was really emotional. I saw people in my life who I haven't connected with in a long time. And there was a scene almost from that movie Interstellar, where I think Matthew McConaughey is like going through the bookshelves I'm sorry if you've not seen the movie, I don't want to give away the plot, but there's a scene and basically you're swimming through time and through a wormhole and you're able to look through different periods of your life and like poke and prod. And I had a very similar experience of that where I saw people and like things that I've experienced. And a lot of them were memories that I had. There was, ironically, 2 people made cameos that really annoyed me. One of whom was Tony Robbins. The other one was Jeff Bezos. And I had this whole experience of, damn, man, you're ruining my trip. Why the hell are you in this place? And so I did find in hindsight that at the moment I was annoyed. And what's funny is although I was obviously in another world, in another space, I was also coherent. And so I was like, this is a waste of a trip. You guys are here. But the other trips that I had, there was one that actually wasn't much of an experience at all. The day before had been super stressful. So I think, and based off what I heard from them, is that sometimes if you have an enormous amount of stress leading up to a trip, it can impact and even like substantially diminish the impact of a ketamine session. And then there were several other ones that were really meaningful. I think one of the big things that came out of it, again, like with my intention being around healing myself around accumulated trauma, as well as being more grateful and wanting to lean into things that perhaps are like limiting beliefs that I've been fighting through and trying to push through as a person. And what was interesting, going back to the trauma thing, was like, I think the very first session where I'd made that my intention, I didn't do it for the first one. I think I did it for the second one. And then after this, I had this experience, made sure to make this a part of my intention for every single subsequent one, was like, as soon as the medication kind of is having effect, I just tears were streaming down my face. I wasn't crying, like I wasn't bawling, but it was just like my body was just like crying, and it was wild. And when you think about the different ways that your body self-regulates, obviously crying is tears are a huge place. You sweat and then you have tears, and that is a emotional release. And so I just found it like extremely fitting and really weird how immediately it happened every time, but also how in some ways better I felt. And so that was really special. And as an entrepreneur, going back to some of the things that brought me into going into the ketamine therapy in the first place, is this is a very, as a culture, it's somewhat masochistic. A lot of emphasis and pressure around performance and winning. And I think it's really easy to get in your head. And one of the things that happened for me with COVID was I became very isolated. I live in New York City. I'm used to like having shared office spaces. I made a lot of like my best friends in adulthood through the very first WeWork. We were at WeWork Labs. And there has always been like a really important part of my life of just being around people. And although I'm an internet nerd, I'm a programmer and designer, and I grew up on the internet and IRC chats and bulletin boards, I have a really hard time writing and articulating myself through writing. I had problems writing essays in school. The one thing that I feel comfortable doing is just talking. And specifically forcing myself to talk. If it's scary, I at least can force myself to raise my hand in class or walk to the front of a stage and just, I'm able to force myself and break through that fear by just moving my legs and not looking back. I've learned, trained myself at least to do that, to break through scary situations. It actually reminds me like a funny situation. I think this is probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I was at a Laravel conference. So Laravel is a programming framework based on PHP. And so I was at a conference in Times Square, New York City with 600 Laravel developers. And I think there was like an intermission in the middle of the conference where they invited people up to do special skills, show off your special skills. And something that I've always, as I was saying, like forced myself to do is if something scares me, I do it. And so when they asked people to come up, I was just like, shit, I don't want to do that. And I was like, oh, now I have to do it. And so I forced myself to go up there. I think the person who went before me did like as many push-ups as he could do. Maybe he was even upside down. But what I did was I freestyle rapped in the voice of Kermit the Frog about programming. I do not remember for the life of me what I said. And I wish it was recorded. I don't know if it might have been recorded. But that was just like one of those moments where I was so scared and so proud of myself for doing that. But the only way I was able to do that was because it was in a physical space where I was, and I was able to just force myself to go up and do it. It's kind of forcing yourself to do something in sports. And writing for me, I just have a lot of paralysis analysis and I have a really hard time structuring my thoughts and refining things in a way that I want them to actually, it's like when I write it, it doesn't say it in the way that I'm for it. And for whatever reason, I don't know if I'm less self-critical when I'm talking, but for whatever reason, I think I am more comfortable communicating myself and what I mean in hopefully a fairly understandable way through talking. I've taken a bunch of writing courses. One of my favorite ones is Power Writing. I'll share a link to that. I'll go through like a few of these different courses that I've taken around like marketing and writing that have been helpful, but unfortunately for me have still not had the result that I've really fought for. And I've been trying to become more comfortable with online writing for probably 8 years. I think personally that is one of the biggest things that's been holding you back. And so trying to find and experiment with other mechanisms and channels to be able to connect with people. Ironically, I think this podcast is probably the right medium for me. And hopefully I can find some other way like to leverage it, to meet more people. And so on that note, if you are listening and you want to talk, I'd love to meet you. I specifically love and can be most helpful to folks who are running D2C brands, but also if you're in SaaS, like on the software side, I'd love to talk to you. I have an enormous amount of respect for people in our space. I can be most helpful with my background in design and programming and then building software companies. I just really enjoy reverse engineering problems. And like in me, for me, part of like my ideal world is I'm sitting here and people are bringing me their problems and we're talking through and thinking through what is the core issue. And then, you know, I love working through how can that be solved. Oftentimes it's a matter of just going through and looking at past ways I've seen it or done or solved it myself or my friends have solved it and being able to even connect folks with other people who I know have solved it. I really enjoy being a connector and I really enjoy, and I think I'm good at solving problems. But ironically, the writing and articulating myself is a problem I'm yet to solve or to find the way that really works for me. Like especially in our space, like people are on Twitter all the time. And while I enjoy, there's like a lot of great, well-articulated threads out there that really make me think. I struggle to come up with anything slightly coherent to say. And that for me is something that I personally just will continue to work on. I need to find a way to solve it. It's learning how to write persuasively and effectively and writing in a way that really is fun for someone to read and is impactful. Like that is such an important skill, especially as an entrepreneur. And when you're dealing with a remote team, as much as I've been a part of remote companies for a long time, I'm sure like with everyone else, like Zoom meetings are exhausting and written documentation and being able to communicate those, being able to do that well is so absolutely critical. And I'd be curious for anyone listening, if you've struggled with that and found a way to make it work, I'd love to hear what your experience was like. What I will say is after the ketamine therapy, although unfortunately it's not like I've gone through 6 sessions, I'm not a superhuman, I'm not completely void of anxiety, but I do have a bit of a softer perspective. I think a key piece of what also happened with the ketamine therapy for me was I combined it with some good habits that I've been putting off. And I guess in some ways, I promised to myself that I am going to approach and take seriously dealing with this issue in a different way. And the big changes I've made in conjunction with the ketamine therapy are waking up early and going on walks. In the middle of all this, I also did a virtual Tony Robbins event. I will say that I don't buy into all of it, but there are things that came out of it that were really meaningful to me that have in fact been helpful. The way to change the way that you feel starts with changing your emotional state. And the fastest way to change your emotional state is through exercise. And I don't just mean going on a run, I guess a run can work too, but like literally like getting, like jumping up and down like a crazy person and really getting your body engaged. But I think that the key thing for me was that insight around like me intellectualizing or intellectually trying to make myself, and in some ways beating myself up to like just be more relaxed or to focus on the solution and not be so focused on the problem, which can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, which then it's like, don't think about the elephant. You just keep thinking about the elephant. The tactic that I learned and took from that was this: by changing your emotional state and like forcing yourself to do certain things, your body actually can't focus on or feel negative. Kind of, if you're smiling, there's a lot of research that says that that will dramatically impact your mood. Even if you don't feel happier, just the basic experience of smiling will make you feel better. And so that was a really big takeaway from this. And going back and combining that with the ketamine therapy and going on really long walks and making this commitment to myself of just, yeah, I guess doing things differently and being vulnerable and sharing my experience. As much as this is obviously an episode of me talking about myself, the intent here is to really talk about something that I think connects us as human beings. And it's something I've thought a lot about and had private conversations with friends and mentors. And my sort of gut is that you can't have this conversation enough. So thanks for listening. And I do hope this was helpful. Reach out with me about anything. My intent here is I just really enjoy being around and meeting smart, interesting people working on cool shit. And I want to be helpful in whatever way that I can. And so please don't hesitate to reach out on LinkedIn or Twitter or email. I'm pretty easy to find. Specifically, if you have anything to talk about, then subscriptions, or we'll call it like not even subscriptions, like strategies around driving repeat purchases. And obviously subscriptions are a piece of that, which is the cornerstone of a lot of our work and a lot of my interests around systems and optimizations and helping brands have superpowers. Sorry, I just feel like I went into pitch mode there for a second, but was trying to convey the type of conversation that I think that I really want to embrace on the show. And so if you have like case studies and anecdotes around things that you found have worked, aren't working, what's helped you get from 7 to 8 figures, from 8 to 9, I think the anecdotes around stuff that doesn't work and why you think it didn't work is also really interesting. Today, I actually got a message, I think one of the first messages from someone. It really meant a lot. He had reached out through LinkedIn, didn't know him, and he had just said that he was a fan of the podcast. Hearing that from him was meaningful, because you never know when you do this stuff if you're talking into the ether, and sometimes it feels like I am. But just getting that feedback and then talking to him about what is it that he enjoys, what can I do differently, how can we make the show more interesting, what types of topics and people can we bring on that will provide more and more value, that's the type of stuff that really gets me excited, is that feedback loop. And so again, going back to like my intent and what I want is to have more and more conversations with talented folks in e-commerce and in SaaS. But yeah, that is my unorthodox story around my recent prepaid subscription to ketamine experience. I think that was the right order of words. I'm curious to hear if this was at all helpful, and feel free to reach out anytime with any questions around ketamine or whatever's going on. If you found things that work for you, obviously we're all a work in progress. I am no exception, but no, I'm excited to maybe even do more stuff like this where it's more off the cuff about life and entrepreneurship and just getting to that. I hate to say level, it sounds trite, but getting to that next level. All right, I hope you have a great day. And until next time, signing off, DJ Fish.